All right.
You know you gotta give us a triple portion.
Huh?
You know you gotta give us a triple portion.
I know it. I gotta get a triple portion. I ain't never cashed a check yet.
Christie told him to be home by two.
Oh, me. Well,
Have to leave and come back by four.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But, well, I just want to thank you for coming and just thank you for being here this morning. To me, it seemed like it's been a month of Sundays since we've been here. But, you know, I do know that we try to, you know, we just want to do everything to where we'll suit everybody, but not only just suit them, but for the safety reason also. I know some churches, they didn't even cancel nothing, but that's all right. They have to answer God for that. But I got to answer God for what we do down here. And my thought is always this: God's given me the flock, and I need to look after the flock. And not just after myself, just to come and preach. Oh yeah, I'd love to come and preach, but you know, but I gotta have people down here too. And if you come, if you break a leg or you break a hip or something like that, you ain't gonna be here the next Sunday when it's warm and pretty. So, oh me. All right. Well, turn to the book of 1 John. First John, and we'll be in chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Which this is just a continuation of the first chapter, because the first chapter is teaching about the fellowship of the Christians. And that the only way we can fellowship with Him, with the Father, is that where we don't have no sin in our life, because, you know, sin will interrupt our fellowship with the Father. And when it interrupts our fellowship with the Father, it also will interrupt our duties also. So we just need to be mindful of that. But I just want to look on this point today at some things that we must hold to for 2017. I know it's just the second Sunday we've been here, but you know, I do believe that we're coming in a time and a place that everything needs to be done according to the Word of God, not according to what I say, but according to what the Word of God says. And here in 1 chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Verse 3 says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now, it's not speaking about the truth is not in the Lord Jesus, but the truth is not in us. If we don't speak of him and give him the praise and the glory, because we just don't understand him. And when we don't understand him, we're not saying that he's a liar, but we're a liar if we don't go out and spread the gospel. And we need to do that. But he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his words, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He saith, he that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandments unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, Father, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, today, Father, for the reading of thy word. And Father, we ask, Lord, now that you'll bless it. Father, I just pray that you'll speak through me today. And Father, and I pray for each one that's here today, God. I pray, Father, that you will just meet their every need. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that they can go into 2017 and just looking at some of the things that we must do and we must hold to here in 2017. And Father, we do thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, over in the book of Daniel, Daniel had the same fellowship that we just read about here in 1 John chapter 2. The fellowship where he walketh and where he talked to God. Now, we know that Abraham, he purposed in his own heart. That was in chapter 1. And chapter 2 and chapter 3 is talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they went and they was not going to forsake the Lord God that they served all them years. And in serving him, they won't forsake him because of Nebuchadnezzar. They won't turn to Nebuchadnezzar's ways and go and worship that golden calf that he had made up. But I'll tell you what, but one day there, in I think it's about the fourth or fifth chapter of Daniel, might be a sixth chapter, it's speaking about Nebuchadnezzar. They come to Nebuchadnezzar then, and they asked him, says, what are you doing? Basically, what are you doing? Are you turning like these three?
Are these four?
Nebuchadnezzar says, you will not touch them. You will not touch them. You will not harm them. Because if you do, you're going to have to answer to me. You're going to have to answer to me is what Nebuchadnezzar was saying to the king there and to the other people there, to the soldiers there and around. They said, these individuals right here, they stood for something. They stood with God. Are we going to stand with God in 2017? Are we? Are we going to allow other people to go ahead and dictate to us and what we preach and what we teach here at Faith Baptist Church? Are we going to allow some individual to talk us in maybe not having a jubilee or not having revival because we're small in number? Little is much when God is in it. That's when God shows up, is when it's small. Because people, when they're small, they're not concerned about their own being. They concern about each other. They concerned about the welfare of the individuals. But Daniel purposed in his own heart. And we need to have the same type of purpose that Daniel had. And Paul had. Paul purposed the same thing in his own heart. To serve God. Not to serve man. Not to serve his boss at the time when he was called Saul. But no. When he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he made a purpose in his own heart to serve God at all cost. And he did. He went out into the desert. And that's where he got his learning from. You can find out in the reading of Paul. Paul did not go out here and go to no school or no with the other apostles where they was learning. No, Paul went out in the desert. He got by himself. And he talked to God because he knew God knew more about this book than what his apostles, than what the other apostles did and what the other people did at that day. Don't get me wrong, schooling is fine. Schooling is fine. I tell anybody, get all the schooling you can. But when it comes down to the schooling of God's word, you don't need to go out of state. You don't need to go out of town. You don't need to go to some of these colleges and pay them $150,000 to do God's work. You don't have to do that. Why? Because you've got the main author. Hey, and when you go and listen to the professor at these colleges and trying to learn a little more about it, about the Word of God, to where you end up pastoring a church. Hey, what they teach me at Liberty, what they teach me at Bob Jones, what they teach me at all these other colleges, the church that I'm going to end up at, not going to help them. It's not going to help them. What's going to help them is God. And you know, and I'm just saying this right here. You know, I've been down here now. I think it's in maybe 3 years. Four, I forgot how many now. But and being here and preaching here and getting to know you people here, I cannot leave this church and go across town and pastor another church the same way I can come in, Pastor. Why? Because it's going to be a different group of people. A different group. And every individual is different in their own way. I can go and talk to someone about some problems that they may have, and I can talk to them and I can give them something out of God's word, and I can try to help them. But I may have to be real serious with them. Won't be able to laugh. I'm going to have to be real serious with them. But then I can go to somebody else within the same church and approach them with the same situation, the same problem. But I can't approach them the same way. Maybe I have to bring up a little humor. Maybe I have to kind of laugh with them. Because they're not as serious minded as the other individual was. You have to approach and you have to talk to individuals on an individual basis. And when you do, then that's when you get to know them and they get to know you. But in Daniel chapter 1, in verse 8, it said he purposed in his heart to do the right things. We need to have the same kind of purpose for 2017, to do the right thing, considering the Word of God. Not to do the right thing for what I may seem is right, because what I may seem is right, to God, it may not be right. But I have to check it out through Scripture. Daniel had made up his mind. Have we made up our minds yet to serve the Lord in 2017? 2017 is a whole brand new year for us here at Faith Baptist Church. But there's some things that I believe that we need to do in 2017 that maybe we did not do in 2016. The first thing that we need to do, we need to search out our own soul. We need to search out our own life. Are we doing what we're doing because we love God? And when I talk about loving God, I'm talking about being saved. Are we just doing it just to do it because we done got in a routine of it? Because I've been a member here all my life and everything, and I just kind of got in with the crowd. That's a whole lot of what a whole lot of people do today. You know it. What a whole lot of people do at churches. They'll go to church. Yeah, my mama, she was raised in that church. My daddy was raised in that church. My mama and my daddy, they got married in that church. So yes, I'm a member of that church. That's my church. But let me ask, I like asking people, I says, are you getting anything out of it? If you ain't getting nothing out of it, you need to go somewhere else. You need to be in a church where you can get something and get a help from God. There are people today, they They just go to church because that's where old great-grandma was. What big deal? Great-grandma ain't going to save you. Great-grandma is not going to do nothing for you now. Because great-grandma is probably in a grave. So you can't depend on great-grandma in helping you out today. You got to depend on God. And you should have been depending on God the whole time. That's what I mean, you know, and people today, they're so, they didn't get so wrapped up in tradition. Nothing wrong with tradition. There's nothing wrong with the word tradition. But we don't need to allow that tradition to dictate to us what we must do for God. Just because we've done it 15 or 20 years ago does not mean that we still have to do it today. We know that God's word is saying yesterday, today, and forevermore. It never changes. It never changes. The same words are right here in this book. Is the same words that was spelled, that was written here when I purchased this book. There's no other new words in him. Not unless I put them in there. We have the word of God. We don't have to depend on things like that. We don't have to depend on people. We need to depend on God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We need to depend on them. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." I'm not condemned because I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm condemned by people because I'm not serving the same one that they're serving. And a whole lot of them are serving the devil. A whole lot of them are serving the devil and they think they're serving God. But you know something God, Paul does to teach us, and the Word of God does teach us also in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, we must try the Spirit. What am I saying? When I come and speak to you or go ahead and speak to someone else, I believe that our spirits need to be focused on one another. In other words, my spirit will be the same as your spirit if you're saved. But if they're not saved, my spirit is not going to bear witness with your spirit. God's word is so simple that we make it so hard. It is. It's so simple that we make it hard. I've got a little thing at the house, and I'm gonna try to make them. I'm gonna try to bring each and every one of you a copy. What it is? He's talking about speaking about the Word of God. Speaking about why people say they can't understand the King James Bible. But they say they can understand all the other traditions. Did you realize that the King James Bible is the only Bible that's out here that you can purchase that does not have a copyright to it? This Bible don't have a copyright to it. The NIV has a copyright. The New King James Version has a copyright. All the other translations, they have a copyright. So I cannot go in and copy, I cannot go in and print them words on a piece of paper. Because if I do, and if they find out about it, I'm liable. Just like some of the letters we get here to church about songs that we sing, that if we make copies of them, we cannot make copies of them. But see, I can make as many copies as I want to of this Bible right here. I can make as many copies as I want to. Don't have a copyright. What's the difference between this copyright and another non-copyright? Copyright is one of the years. Bye. See you later. We're going to be praying. You're going to get
Sundays off.
Yes.
Yep. See, a copyright just lasts for 100 years. How old is God? Can anybody else tell me? Can you tell me how old God is? Can you tell me how old Jesus is? Jesus is 2017 and 9 months. I have a brother. I have a dear brother that I can call my brother. How old is my brother? 2017 years old. That's how old he is. My brother. Guess what? You have a brother also if you're saved. You know how old your brother is? I tell you. 2017. That's how old he is. Oh, man. And I have a brother. That will not say a bad thing about me. Won't say a bad thing about me. But you got a brother too that won't say a bad thing about you. And we all have the same brother. That's the reason the Word of God speaks about. And it teaches us as Christians that we must call other Christians by the rightful name. You know what my rightful name is? It's not Mr. Donald Mahan. The word Mr. is not nowhere on my birth certificate. My rightful name is Brother Don Mahan. You know what your name is? Your rightful name is Sister Taylor, Sister Huff, Sister Cone. Sister Shelby. I started to say Sister Bill, but it's not.
Brother B.
That's what kind of relationship we have with him. And he will never condemn us. Why? Because he was condemned already. The people there that day, they condemned him. Why did they condemn him? For just telling the truth. They condemned him for his truth. They condemned him for his love. They condemned him for his forgiveness. They just condemned him. Why? Because see, that's what they was in business for. That's what they was there to do. It was condemn the Lord Jesus. That's what these individuals are here. That's not in church. That's not saved. Their purpose and their business is to condemn us. Why? Because we don't serve the same God. Yes, the devil is a type of God. He's their God. And the devil, he is over hell. He's over hell. Because that was the reason hell was established. Hell was established for the devil and his angels and his followers. I'm not going. I'm not going, Satan. I don't. I ain't going where you going, bro. On the way, I'll go where he goes if he just come on in and just get saved.
But he ain't going to get saved. Why? Matter of fact, he can't get saved. Why? Because he denied the Holy Ghost. He denied the Holy Spirit. He said, Holy Spirit, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. And when you condemn the Holy Ghost, you condemn your own self. To hell, fire, and brimstone. Where the lake of fire is at. And I always got to wondering about that lake. Talking about a lake of fire. When I first heard it, when I first got saved, I said, a lake of fire. Man, that's just like going out there and, oh, you have an oil leak or you have a fuel leak or something like that. And the fuel runs over into the lake or into the stream. Then you can light a match to it. Well, I can go out there and I can pour 1,000 gallons of oil in a pond. I can go in and I can light a match. It's going to burn. You've seen it on TV where these oil spills take place and where they'll catch on fire in the ocean and everything. But how do they go about putting that fire? You know how they do it? They have divers that goes into the water and goes up under the fire above. And they separate. They separate the oil. That's how they diminish the fire. And I said to myself, I said, well, shoot, man, the lake of fire. I mean, shoot, ain't nothing. I mean, ain't gonna be all that bad. I mean, hey, hallelujah. They're just gonna throw me in the lake of fire.
All I gotta do is just go on and swim underwater. I'll be all right. But have you ever seen one of these volcanoes erupt? When they erupt, what do? They spill over. Right? What comes down? A lava comes down. It flows like a stream. And it goes everywhere. And it brings about destruction in everything it touches. That's what I believe is speaking of the lake of fire. Because, you know, people today, they just don't even believe in hell. They believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell. That's the reason they don't come to church. That's the reason people are doing what they want to do today. Because they don't have a belief in anything. The only belief that they have is a belief that someone else has given them. It hasn't come from the Word of God. And the belief, if they come in here and they hear me preach, they're not going to get the belief that they want from me. To where they can go out here and they can live a life of sin and corruption and be bound down to the devil all the time. They will come in and find out what true love is all about. And that's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he's about love. But he's also about wrath. He's also about judgment. I'm not supposed to judge anyone. You're not supposed to judge anyone. I'm not supposed to judge you, and you're not supposed to judge me. Because, see, we've already been judged by this book. Every time that we get up and we read this book, whether it's home or here at the church, anytime we read it, and speaking about that we should not do that, that we're not living the life committed to God. Hey, I didn't say that. God said it. Here in the Word of God is God's judgment. I'm just like the mailman. You give me the letter, or you give me the envelope, I'm supposed to deliver what's in the package. I'm not supposed to go in and open the package. I'm supposed to deliver what's in the package. Same way with the Word. I'm supposed to deliver what's in the Word. And people, each one of us can get a little nugget from it. We may not get the whole grasp of it, but we can at least pull a little nugget out of it. And that nugget can bring us strength and encouragement. We need to have a purpose in our heart. Like I believe Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Paul, John, Peter, and all of them had. They read and studied the Word of God. I know back then, back in the Old Testament, they did not have all the Word of God. But they studied the Word of God. Why? What did they study? They had the one that they walked with. They had the one
they went to and prayed with. And he prayed with them. They may not have had the Word of God like we got it, but they had the presence of God.
You know who the author is of this book that I read from? You know who the author is of it?
God. Who's the author of the NIV? Man. Ladies, that's who the author is of the NIV. I can go and I can read the NIV. I'm just reading a book. That's all I'm reading. Why? Because the authors that wrote that book are not there with me. Not there, right there in my study to have when I'm reading. Or right there in my study when I'm trying to come up with a message or doing what God wants. This is the only Bible, the King James Version, the King James Bible. It's not the 1611. It's not the King James 1611, the Authorized Version. It's not. I can't read the Authorized Version, the 1611. This is what we have today. Everything that's in here was in the 1611. And everything that's in here, I believe, is in the Word of God that's been settled and is settled there in heaven. I believe it's right here. We don't have it all. Because if we had it all, if we had the whole Word of God that He's got there settled in heaven, what would we be at? What would we do? We'd be doing? I tell you exactly right now what we'd be doing. We'd get on our face and we'd bow down. We'd probably even lay down on the carpet and we'd start talking to God and we wouldn't get up. That's where we stay. We don't know what is all going to be there. But I do know one thing. I am sure of this. I am positive of this. That I'm going to be there. And my Savior, the Lord Jesus, is going to be there. I'm sure of that much. What else is going to happen? I can just imagine. I can just let my mind just go and imagine what heaven can be like. That's the reason we have the Word of God. That's the reason we need to study it. Because the Word of God will teach us these things. We need a purpose in our heart to be separated, to be dedicated. What are you talking about? Being separated. Separate ourselves from the world. Yes, we are in the world. We're in the world. I'm in the world every day. But I'm not of the world. There's a difference. There's a difference. I'm right here in the world. I'm faced with all the problems that goes on. I hear about all of the abusive language that goes on.
and all this sin that goes on in behind closed doors. I see it all. I know it all. I know it's here. But because I know it's here does not mean that I need to give in to it. I don't need to give in to it. I need to be separated. I need to be sanctified. I need to be justified. And I need to be righteous. Why? Because it's what God is. We need to separate our attitude from in the way that we have thought about things, in the way we think about other people. We need to separate ourselves from the appearance of evil. We need to separate ourselves from the association with the crowd. I tell people all the time, I says, you can stay home and you can watch a TV tube. And I says, and I know a couple preachers on this, they're pretty decent preachers. They preach the word of God, I believe, what I've heard of them. But we need to be associated, not with the TV, not with the TV tube. We need to be associated with the people that's in the local church. Because it's the local church that's going to help them. It's the local church that's going to be there for them. We need to separate ourselves from the things that we do, the things that we used to do. We need to start out with 2017 and doing some of these things. Being separated, studying God's word, telling people how to get saved. We also need to have a purpose in our heart to be a soul winner. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise your hand. But I'm going to ask you. Have you ever took the word of God or just took something that you had that you've learned down through the years in your own mind and shared it with someone else? Have you? Have you ever took that and led someone to the Lord? I know some people, they say that, you know, I can't talk. I can't speak to the people. I just get so nervous because I'm scared what I might say will be the wrong thing. That's the reason I run for God for almost a year when he was dealing with me about preaching. I just couldn't handle the fact that if I got up here and if I made a mistake and if I said something wrong, that I was dealing with people and it was dealing with our lives. But I'll say one thing. Yes, I got in church. Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning preaching, Sunday night. Even got in the choir at the church. Wednesday night we was there. We had revival. If it was a 3-night revival or 5-night or 2-week revival, I was there at every one of them. That's where I wanted to be. That's where I wanted to be. We're doing all that. Still, there was something still missing in my life. Something was missing still in my life. What it was is me doing what God had asked me to do. What God wanted me to do. What God has asked every individual He's ever saved. This is one thing you don't have to pray about it. There's some things that we don't have to pray about. We don't have to pray about in being faithful to God. We don't have to pray about in attending a local church. We don't have to pray about our tithes and offering. We don't have to pray about this. Or we don't have to pray about it because God's word is plain on it. If we want to be blessed as people, we must obey His word. I don't need to pray that God, I pray this week, Lord, that you would just allow me to have $1,000 extra this week, Father. Where I can take it, turn that $1,000 and I can give it to the church. I don't have to pray like that. All I have to do is just do what God's asked me to do, and He's going to do the rest. He going to do the rest. Because as I think it's so in the book of Matthew, it's in one of the Gospels there, talking about the laborers. The laborers. We have very few laborers today. Very few. But I will tell you something. When my life got so full and I knew that what I'd been missing, that I ended up having that too. You know what it was? My pastor at the time asked me if I would be willing to go to the hospital on my lunch hour and see this individual. The individual wasn't in church, but my pastor asked me if I could do that for him because he had to leave that morning to go to Richmond. Because he was in the National Guard and he was a general and then he was a colonel and all that. And he left out and he went to Richmond. He asked me if I could go to the hospital and visit that individual. And he gave me their name. He said, I don't put room in. And I went that particular day. And when I did, I walked up to the desk and I asked them by the name. And I asked them, I said, could you tell me what room they're in? And this was when it was when they didn't even have none in the new part. It was what's in the old part of the hospital. I said, yeah. And they give me the name and everything. And I went up and I visited. And I just told them what church I was from. Just told them that somebody had given their name and asked me to just come up here and just see how he was doing and everything. And I did. The first individual was an individual
that lived, the house is still there, on First CVS on West Main Street, right at the corner on the stoplight. The house is still there. He lived there. And I just asked a simple question. Because I prayed the whole time I was going to be in steps and everything. I said, God, man, you're going to have to be with me because I'm so nervous. I don't even know what to say. I know I'm going to mess up. I know I'm going to say something wrong. I said, are you saved? He said, what? I said, if something was to happen to you, where would you go? Where would you be at? You know, you've got heaven and you've got hell. Where would you go? He said, I don't know. I said, well, listen, man, sure. And I had an opportunity to lead it to the Lord. And when I had that opportunity to lead it to the Lord, and when I left, I was shouting and I was praising. I was waving my arms and everything. I was going, walking back down the hall and going down the steps and everything. People said, what's wrong with you? I mean, I had some people up there, some nurses up there. I said, I just led somebody to the Lord. I just snatched one of the devil's servants from him. Man, he's on God's side.
You know what they said? Say, amen. That's good. But you know something? You can't even go to the hospital now. You can't even go up there and take a track up there and hand somebody a track.
If you was to be in the hospital, and if I went to come to the hospital to visit you, did you know that being your pastor, I could not come into your room and give you a tract just to read and just to comfort you for a little bit? Why? That's what they got. That's the hospital's policy. No, that's the devil's policy, because that's who they're working for.
Yes, we all need to be soul winners. We really do. And we don't have to wait till we think that we can do it, because we can't do it. We have to depend on God. We need to serve God at all costs. We need to be steadfast. We must be strong in what we believe. We must not allow somebody else to dictate to us what we must believe. Because you know that's what they're doing out here today. They're trying to convince us and believe in something else. We need to be so strong and so firm in what we believe that nobody, and I mean nobody, can shake us from what we believe. No other preacher, no other evangelist, no other pastor could ever teach us something that we do not believe in. Because they are all out here. That's what they're doing today. Why are they doing that?
They just want to build our church. They want to allow our church continue on growing with other people, with other churches. membership. There's not a church in Danville proper that I know of that has grew that much. They may grow one or two, but yet talking to them, talking to the pastors and talking to the members of the church, oh yes, man, we had a good year last year. I know one particular church in Danville. And y'all know it too, but I'm going to say the name. This particular church, last year, had about almost 150 to 175, or maybe 180 people added to the church. Became members of the church. They said, we've had a good year. We grew last year. We grew last year. I said something to them. I said, well, I'm not trying to be smart and like it, because come to God's word, I'm just a second in my computer. That's my wife's number. I says, I had 160 or 80, how many it was, added to the church and became members of the church. How many of them came forward to any church, to an altar, and asked the Lord to save them? And then after that, then they was immersed in the water. They said, well, we probably had 9 who was saved already. I said, well, tells me over in the book of Acts that the only time that you add people to the church, and the only time you speak about the church growing, that's when you got new converts. Not when you got somebody else's convert from another church, or you just got some disgruntled member from another church. Come and join. And don't get me wrong now, these are strong members that's in other churches too. Yes, a whole lot of them are not getting nothing. But even though if we come in 2017, if we come in here and then in 2017, if we had about 45, between 40, 45, 50 members. More than what we got right now. Did we grow any? The only way you ever grow is through another convert. And that right there is giving birth. Because the last time I have a lot of luck with them, so I can't say a word. But to say this, and I will use it in the same illustration. Have you ever seen a lady? You ever seen a woman that was married, was about ready to give birth to a child? You ever seen to where they didn't gain an ounce? Hey.
looks at. That's going to be a new birth. It will be a new birth into that family. That's what I've been speaking about. In the birth, in a new family of God. God wants hope of that new birth. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we ask God that you'll be with each one of these individuals today. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, if any of them has anything on their heart that they need to come and Father, just ask you, Lord, to help them with it. We pray, Father, that they will. And Lord, I pray, God, Father, that you will just be with each one of us as we go home today. And Father, that you'll give us a good night and Father, bring us back tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray.